The only one that I see leaving is Phil. I don't think he's going to junior church, though, because he took his coat. Okay. He'll be back next service. Anyway, guys, I am so excited that you could join us today. I know when there's a storm that is predicted, we as Maritimers sometimes can say, yeah, it's a good day to stay home. And again, hunker down and keep the fires going. At least it's mild enough that you didn't have to worry about the heat in the home and all those sorts of things. I want you guys, again, be praying for the winter. There's so many folks who don't have those to lean on when storms come and things like that. But anyway, we're praying that the power would stay on, and I'm glad that you could join us. You know, this morning, there was just a beautiful intimacy here. I don't know if you were feeling it. I don't know if you were getting it, but worship to me this morning was something that I didn't know I needed, but I so desperately did. And in the midst of it, God was touching my heart, and I'm so grateful that we could do that together as a family. Anyway, thank you for being here. You know, this year, I wanna start off talking about a quality of life. And so I'd been praying where God wanted us to go, and I had been struggling with that. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking of how many people are investing in things that are irrelevant, right? Sometimes we do that as even believers, but certainly in the world in which we watch, we see so many people that are investing in things that seem to be irrelevant. They want an impressive life, don't they? I don't know if you have those friends who always name drop and try to tell you who they know and all those sorts of things, or here's my new toy, and they roll out the brand new truck, or they try to buy a bigger and better house. And you know, sometimes as my kids have been kind of growing, they understand, well, you know what, we've got enough, and we don't need any more. And so we kind of tell them that. We said, you know what, happiness really comes down to partially being a choice, kids. You know, you can't go to absolutely everything that you want to go to. You know, like Ellis, you wanted to go to band camp this summer, and I said, not happening. Right? They have a lot of money that they are asking, and we paid a lot of money for that piano in your room. And so if you want, I can come up to your room for a week in the summer and slap your fingers when you hit a wrong note, but that will be your band camp because the piano's already paid for, right? Now, she didn't think that that was such a good idea, so she practiced on her own. But we try to show them that, you know what, there are some things in life that may be nice, and God may bless you with, but we don't seek the blessing. We seek the author of the blessing. And so we don't need a life that's impressive because we've already been saved. Now, I was reading a story this week which kind of made me giggle, and it made me think of all these people that kind of are searching for the wrong things. And it was about a lieutenant. And he had just gotten promoted, and he was excited about his new position. And so he just got his new office, and he got in his office, and he was feeling very important. He was feeling very impressive. And then he saw a private coming towards his office, and he went, ah, the first chance I have to have an impression upon somebody and to show them how important I am. So he picks up his phone, and he sees it, and he's pretending that he's talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden, the private comes to his door, and he knocks, and he motions him in, and he goes, just give me a second. He does one of these, and he goes, yes, Colonel, no, you can certainly count on me, Colonel. Thank you very much for believing in me, and he hangs up the phone, and he says, yes, Private, what can I do for you? And the private says to the lieutenant, he says, nothing, sir, I'm just here to hook up your phone. And I was thinking of that story, and I said, so often that we see people who are trying to impress us in this world, but there's only been one man who's ever been able to do that, and his name was Jesus Christ. And you know, it's not about us being impressive, but what I see in the church sometimes is this common unspoken feeling that even as a believer, we don't feel very impressive. It seems like there are many in the church who get caught in a cycle and they feel absolutely stuck and stagnant and they are frustrated with life. And what's scary to me is that mundane kind of drony feeling in which we have in life sometimes can actually start to seep into our spirit. Have you ever had those moments? And again, you know what, confession is good for the soul, but this isn't a sign of weakness. This is just us being real. As family members, I don't know if you've ever felt this, but have you ever felt that God is being silent? Have you ever had those seasons? I have. And it's hard. It's a discouraging time. It's a crazy kind of time. We don't feel impressive. We find ourselves asking a lot of whys, right? And in our faith, and again, I always challenge people that it's good to ask questions. As believers, you should know what you believe and why you believe it, that your foundational faith should be built upon a very, very strong theology. That's why I encourage people to read the Bible and to study it for all that it's worth, because the scriptures are true, but there will be seasons when you find that truth hard to wrestle to the ground. And so those dry seasons, what do you do? And I was thinking of some of these promises. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. But isn't there days when we feel like we're lacking? and we know we're not supposed to want, but then there's days where we want and we have to wait, and the waiting sucks. Can I say that? They would tell me I couldn't say that in my preaching class. I didn't learn very much in my preaching class, right? That's obviously true to you guys. But anyway, you know me. John 10:10, this verse where it says that Jesus came that we could have life. How? To its fullest, right? And yet there'd be so many times where we don't feel that. We feel like there's things that are missing within our spirit. Those are seasons that we go through. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for what? For the good, for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And there's times where we'd say this. We'd say, God, I know that things are supposed to be good, but my prayer is this, Lord, it doesn't feel like things are good. And yes, while I love you, I don't see the purpose in the struggle right now. And to be honest, I don't see my purpose. I hear that all the time from believers in very raw, candid, private moments where they're saying, I just don't know what my purpose is. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, what? Who can be against us? And yet there are moments where we feel like everybody is against us, right? Like my spouse is against me, my kids are against me, my neighbors are against me, man, everybody is against me, right? And then the one friend that you know you can always rely upon, you go to tell them your woes and they tell you to screw off and you're like, ah, no, everybody's against me. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And you know what? There's moments where our spirit goes, I get the wasting away part. But this renewal, I just don't feel, God. I need this renewal. And so I was thinking about some of those discouraging moments and some of those discouraging times. And you know what? Even as I've been praying for baby Aiden's family, parents, and let's be honest, that are crying out to God and saying, how much more? How much more are you going to ask us to endure? How much more can we take? And there's times when life doesn't always go as planned. And sometimes you and I, even as believers, we get tired. And what makes it even more grueling is when we miss our purpose. You know, how many of you are glad to see 2019 go? 1, 2, 3, 4. See, some people will say that because, you know what, it has been a struggle. And for some of you, you're going, oh, man, if I could live there, woo, it was the year of blessing. Well, shut up. I'm just speaking for those who put up their hand, right? For some, it's been tough. Some of those changes, some of those adjustments have not been rewarding. They've been the thing that nightmares are made of. And you know, even as believers, it's hard for us sometimes to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I wanted to start off this year by talking about a quality life, a life without limits. And this idea that can we truly live that way? Can we come to a place of understanding where instead of questioning the scripture and the truth that we read, that we can actually rest in those truths? And the answer is yes, I believe that we can come to that place. This idea that the quality of our life, our faith can be so strong that regardless of the circumstances, we can see the blessing. And so even this year, as I was starting off this year, one of the books that I love to read is Hebrews. And some of you guys will know that. The author of Hebrews is very, very encouraging for those dark days, in case you're ever wondering where to go when you're struggling or when you're frustrated. Chapter 11 is this chapter of heroes. And he talks so much about this faith chapter, about those who faced trials and overcame. right? And so Hebrews 11 makes sense that when you're struggling, why not go there and see what others can overcome when they let God go before them? And they talk about these incredible moments when God was the only solution, but yet God came through. The author mentions Jericho and how the walls fell down, like supernaturally at the shout of man's praise. Like, that's amazing to me. It talks about the ark and how Noah and his family were saved despite this fact that they're building an ark in a desert region. Like, it makes no sense, but there is God doing what only God can do. It talks about lions' mouths being shut when Daniel was thrown into their den and they were hungry. It talks about people like Abraham. It talks about people like Enoch and Gideon. And it has all of these great reminders and examples of heroes that have gone before us. And then it gets to this place in chapter 12. And this is what I wanted to do this morning as we start off this year. I want to read Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. And I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Because maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've been frustrated. Maybe some of those scriptures you've been finding hard to see the truth in. Well, I just want you to envision this for a moment. This word is for you. The author of Hebrews goes on to say this. Listen to this. Because of all these great examples, because of all these great heroes, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's for you, guys. Again, that's for you. There is a trust that is available for each of us as believers, isn't there? To think about that, that you could throw off everything that hinders. Think about that. The freedom that paints for us. That we could be victorious over sin, that we could run this race of life, it says, without baggage or heaviness. What would be your strength? Perseverance. Captivated not by the problems and the bills that lay ahead, but instead you are locked on to Jesus, the one who was the only example that we will ever need. Why? Because he conquered everything, including the grave. Think about that with me. That what in the world do we fear? We have to fear nothing. What in the world would make us lose heart? Nothing would make us lose heart. Why? Because we wouldn't necessarily grow weary, because it wouldn't be our strength. It would be his strength that would always be enough. Think about that with me. Like, that is made to be our normal. And you know, for all of that to happen, you can look up, for all of that to happen, we need to connect with our purpose. And one of the things that I've heard for 26 years of being in ministry is people saying, Andrew, I just don't know why God has me here. Like, my purpose, I don't even know what my purpose is, and I'm finding it so hard. I want to tell you about a guy who was a little old farmer. His name is Bert. And Bert and his wife, they were amazing people. They were pillars in my life, but they were also pillars in my church when I was a kid and I was growing up. And they would take on kid after kid after kid after kid that came from broken homes. And so they were foster parents, and they all their lives they had kids coming in and out of their home. It was amazing. There was something incredible about Bert. Bert was one of those guys. He was an old farmer, and he's always been old. He's still living, which is amazing to me. When I would go and see Bert, what would Bert be doing? He'd be doing farm stuff. He'd be shoveling poo. And you know what? When I would get to Bert's house, I loved to be around Bert no matter what he was doing. And most of the time, he was shoveling poo. Some of my greatest memories as a child are shoveling poo with Bert. Now, is it because shoveling poo is fun? I'm saying poo for Brooklyn a lot. I hope that she goes home and says poo this afternoon. And Ethan goes, don't talk like Andrew, right? Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? She's like, yeah. Anyway, that was perfect timing. You know, hanging out with Bert was always awesome. Because Bert was always fulfilling his purpose. Whether he was shoveling poo, Brooklyn, poo. Whether we were bringing in hay, whether we were splitting wood, it was always beautiful being around Bert. Because Bert was this person of incredible faith to me. That no matter the task, he was always positive. That no matter what was in front of him, he would always see the upside, the blessing despite the curse. That he always had energy and he would always take hold of that purpose. Well, that was amazing to me. And so as we start this series, I want to ask you, are you taking hold of your purpose? Well, what is your purpose? The purpose comes really in two forms. There's a general purpose that you have as a human being. Well, what is that general purpose? That general purpose, Bert had discovered, God longs for you to love. That was one of Bert's secrets to life. That I always felt loved around Bert no matter what we were doing. He was always ministering to me. He was always blessing me. Why? Because that was his God. His God was always loving. His God was always ministering to him. His God was always blessing him. And so as God had an impact of the world that was around God, guess what? Bert also had an impact of the world that was around him. Just as God loved and blessed and served and ministered, so Bert blessed and served and ministered and loved. And that was our purpose. See, you got to remember that you are made in the very image of God himself. So you would take on the traits of your creator, yes? Of course. So what is God? God is love. Are you love? What is God? God blesses, God serves, God ministers to all of his creation. You are to mirror that. You see, that's why it was so intoxicating being around Bert, regardless of the task. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given by the common good. I love the way the New Living Translation says that. It says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. That talks about your purpose. That you have been given all of these gifts. You've been given this very life. Why? So that you can help each other. What should you be doing? We should be ministering. What should we be doing? We should be loving. And for each one, the Spirit has given us blessings so that we can be a blessing. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, it says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Do you see how purposeful your words are meant to be? If anyone serves, listen, they should do so with the strength God provides, not your strength. Why? Because your strength isn't enough. Your strength doesn't last long enough. You will get frustrated. You will get annoyed. But here's the deal. If we could do that service with the strength that God provides, then it would be never ending. Why do we do it? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful purpose. Your purpose is to love. Your purpose is to minister. Your purpose is to be a blessing. That's our general purpose. And when we embrace that, there is a peace and a satisfaction and a happiness and a joy that comes with that. But let's get to the specific purpose. If your general purpose is to love, then what is the specific way in which you can do that? Do you know that God longs to love and to minister? Yes, in that general way. But he's also ordained you specifically with ways and gifts that will fulfill that desire within you. Stay with me on this. You see, God is that specific. Have you ever looked at the lilies that exist in this world? As an artist, I do sometimes. That's my artsy-fartsy side, right? And I love to sketch it. I love to draw. If you want to draw a lily, you better do a little bit of study because there's so many different varieties of lilies, it'll blow your mind. So many different arrays of colors that it is fascinating to me. And that's just a stinking flower that most of the time you step on because we're not paying attention to it because we miss the beauty that God has surrounded us with. Do you know that each of you has specific skills and gifts and strengths that are to be used to minister and to love? And yet so often we don't discover them, we don't seek them, we don't ask about them. Why? Because we're so focused on self that we miss everything else. 1 Peter 2:9. But you, listen, are a chosen people. Wow. Not by mistake, not by evolution. You're a little more important than the monkeys that scientists will try to tell us that we come after. We shovel poo, we don't fling poo, right? Yet they miss that. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Are you having a hard time feeling important this year? Did you hear those words, that you're chosen, that you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light? Made purposely to declare. Very specific, our God is. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, that he has plans that have been set into action before you were even born. Think about that. Are you important? You want to better believe that you're important. Yet how often do we get stuck in life being mundane?
Well, I get up and I toil. I toil to pay the man, and I fall asleep at the end of the day only to get up to toil some more.
Man, you're missing your purpose then, aren't you? Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for what? To do works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That yes, he longs to use you in general to reveal himself, to declare love to his creation, to be a blessing to all those who are watching, to show the world a better way. But he has specific gifts that he has designed you with. And it's you and only you who have those gifts and possess those things that will show love in even a greater and more tangible way. God is not just asking you to serve. He's asking you to serve specifically. And this month, I want to talk about all the ways that you were made to love. And I was thinking about these things. Like off the top of my head, I was thinking of Brian Jodry, computer genius, sees things that you can't see. When do I call Brian? When I've already made a mess. Bob knows this. He worked at computers too. You always get a call after the mess is already made, don't you, Bob? And it's one of those things where I'll call Brian up and I'll say, I did something. And he'll go, what did you do? And I'll say, well, that's why I'm calling you. I don't know what I did. Even last Tuesday, like, things weren't working. I call up Brian. I said, do you happen to be in the area? And he goes, what did you mess up? Like, this is what he does. It's like, I'm like, well, you come and see. If I knew what I messed up, I would fix it, but I don't know. And he sees things that elude me. And yet, you know what? Time after time after time, because his brain works so differently than mine, he pulls my butt out of the mess. And it's amazing, his gift. I was thinking of Phil the other night. We're playing guitar, and Thursday night we got together, and we were just working on some different songs for the chowder night and all that sort of stuff. And he was singing, and I was listening, and I was critiquing, and I was thinking how much Phil has blessed me. In the 16 years that he has been my friend, I wish he'd been my friend for so much longer than that. But 16 years, when I got here, I knew about 3 chords. Couldn't sing and play together, no way, impossible. And yet he sees the guitar like I couldn't see the guitar. And he hears music like I couldn't hear music. And you know what? All the while, he keeps stretching me because of the specific gifts that he has been given. The other day when I was in the hospital, and I just finished praying with somebody, and I was kind of feeling heavy. And I'm walking down the hall, you know, the hall and on the main floor. And all these beautiful paintings, some done by Lisa, some done by Carol. And I was sitting there, and I caught beauty in the heaviness. Seeing nature And I found myself almost crying, right? And again, I was, you know, I try to battle that because men aren't supposed to cry. No, I cry when I need to cry. But I was sitting there going, thank you, God, for Carol. Thank you, God, for Lisa. And thank you for the gifts that they used to share with me. Even though they're not here physically right now, they're not in the hospital, but they're encouraging me. They're lifting me. They're giving me reasons to sing. Think about that. In general, we love, but yes, specifically, you were designed so that that love could happen to this great world in so many different and unique ways. Wow. What is your way? What is your specific purpose? And you know what? Here's what I find all the time. I ask that question. For 26 years, I've been asking that question. You know what the answer is that I get most of the time? I don't know. What's your purpose? What were you designed for? Why are you here? Why did God make you? I don't know. And I'm going, are you happy with that answer? Like, that's so unsatisfying. What in the world? Why would you rest in that? Why wouldn't you find out? Yes, in general, God made you to serve, and God made you to love, and God made you to encourage, right? But even here's the deal. Specifically, he has ways for you to literally raise the dead. If you would only find out. And here's the truth. Here's the truth that Bert knew. Here's the truth that I learned, that quality of life, right? A quality of life is one that invests in others. Made in the image of God. What did God do? God moved heaven and earth to touch this world in which he gave us to live, and he hopes that you would do the same. He hopes that you would do the same. A quality life is one that invests in others. Why? Because that's what our Creator does. And it's clinically proven. Right? One of my counseling techniques that I've learned over the years of doing counseling, that if you battle with something, whether it be depression, whether it be finances, whatever it would be, then what do we try to do? Well, most of the time we're stuck. Why are we stuck? We're stuck because we're focusing on self. And so one of the counseling techniques that I've learned many years ago is that we try to get you to help others, who even some who have the same ailment that you have. And what happens when all of a sudden we start to help others? Well, then we stop focusing on ourselves and we stop focusing on our problem. And then all of a sudden we start helping somebody stand who is struggling standing themselves. And all of a sudden this ministry sets us free. And yet so many don't live a quality of life, even in the church, because they're so focused on self, they miss others. Well, what is the example of Jesus? What did Jesus do? Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus touched the sick. Jesus visited the lonely. What did Jesus do? Jesus washed dirty feet. And here's a lie that we buy, even in our culture and even in the church, that you can be anything you want to be. Just work hard. That sounds good, doesn't it? And that gives people hope who maybe are hopeless, but you know what? That hope is very misfounded. That you can be anything that you want to be. Well, you know what? You shouldn't be anything you want to be. Because your dreams for you, this is truth, sadly, they're not big enough. They're not big enough, nor are they specific enough. You see, you didn't create you. You are a created being, and so the only one who knows the best you is the one who created you, and we should be letting God lead us into the best possible version of us that exists for the universe today. Don't be what you want. Be who you were designed to be. That's what the world needs. But the world's problem is this idol that we see everywhere we look. And what's its name? Its name is me. Me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about mine. It's all about what I want. No. It's about who he designed you to be. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do you understand the will of the Lord? The New Living Translation says, don't act thoughtlessly. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord's will is. And we look at that. We say, okay, you know what? Truth has never changed. It's been the same since God spoke time into existence. Right? And people have been wondering this for ages, right? Like, you think of the Pharisees who got together with Jesus, and they said, what is the greatest thing? What is the greatest of all the laws? What is the greatest thing? What does he say in Luke 10, 27? To love the Lord your God with all your what? Your heart, your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and then what? To love your neighbor as yourself. So what is your purpose? Your purpose is to love. Very, 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 very clear. And how do we love? You love through the gifts and the skills that God designed you uniquely to love and to bless through. So what are those skills? You know what? There's so many that don't know. What do you do? What makes you tick?
I don't know.
What? How long have you not known?
I don't know. I've never known.
What? And you're satisfied with that kind of... No wonder you are depressed. You see, if we truly believe that we were designed so specifically, I want to ask you, what are your gifts? What are the opportunities that God is laying before you that you should be moving on? Because we should be fulfilling our purpose, should we not? That's quality of life, is it not? And here's the deal. I see so many in the church with unrest and unhappiness. Why? Because they're not doing what they were made to do. They're not fulfilling their purpose. Some aren't even loving others. They're missing the general purpose. I ain't got time for that. Oh, wow. Then Jesus, take them home. You'd be shocked at some of my prayers. How candid they are. I put in my time. Lord, take them home. She just said she wanted to be with you. Get her off this planet. In Jesus' name. That was pretty funny, wasn't it, Brooklyn? So sadistic. You're going to be one messed up kid. You see, there's a lot in the church that sadly have no quality of life. And I don't want to be one of those people. My hope and my prayer that this year that lies ahead of you, that you don't want to be one of those people either. And you know, it's okay to have seasons. There's seasons where we get discouraged. There's seasons where we fight. There's seasons where we are frustrated. You are called to be a warrior. So do just that. Fight those battles. Every spiritual battle is worth fighting. Don't you give ground to the enemy. He has already taken too much from us. Give him nothing more. That I want this year for us to stand up and to fulfill our purpose, that we would love the world in which we live, but more than that, we would figure out specifically what God has given us and how he's designed us to love only those that we will meet and reach. You see, you are not by chance and you are not by accident. You are not a product of evolution. You are designed. Oh, that you would fulfill your purpose. You weren't a mistake. And it's not by chance that you are living in 2020 in Digby County. You were designed, and it's with a purpose. Oh, that you would love, but love specifically. She's getting excited. Don't you shush her, Greg. Man, Brooklyn, it's hard being a kid, isn't it? Let's do this. Stand and bow your heads. Whew. I'm kind of excited about this series, and I'll be honest with you. I wish I knew where it was all going, but I don't. A lot of times I have things mapped out so specifically, because we're talking about purpose, general and specific. For whatever reason, God hasn't given me the whole thing. But I do know this. You were made to love. And God has designed you so intricately that there are ways that you are called to love that only you can accomplish. And if you don't know what those are, why in the world are you settling for that as an answer? It's no answer at all. God is not hiding. He longs to pour out his wisdom from the throne upon you who are willing to ask and believe. Why in the world wouldn't you ask? what God has for you. And I'm not talking just in general. I'm talking specifically. What does God have for you today? What does God have for you in those relationships, those co-worker relationships, those family designs, those friendships? They're not by chance. People were brought your way because the Savior's will is that none should perish. And if you have that truth, you are to bless. And the reason people are in your life is because God gave you something specific to share with them that would point to Him. Wow. Wow. What are those things that make you tick? What are those things that you get excited about? God made you that way. He made you that way. Next week, we're going to dive into this even more. But my whole challenge to you today is, why aren't you asking? I hope you're asking. Please be asking. Ask. And then it'll be given to you. Truth. Not truth to set you free, because you should already be set free, I hope. Praise God. Ask and it will be given. Why? Because there are those who are captives that need the freedom that only you can point to. Oh, that you would point. Let this be the year where revival breaks forth. Let's pray. Brooklyn's had enough. Well, that's okay. I'm going to go under the chair soon, too. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you for all that you are. I want to say thank you for our purpose. Lord, I pray that we would be a church and a people that would be so overwhelmed with the love that we see in our Heavenly Father, that love that we see would be such a desire that it would not be contained within these vessels that you have made us, that love would pour out of this church, that love would pour out of these families, that love would pour out of individuals. And Father, more than that, I'm praying that we would specifically be seeking the gifts that you have given us. And we'd be longing for and seeking moments, divine appointments in which we can love the world in which you have asked us to bless. Very specifically, why? So that your glory would come to earth, heaven to earth. Oh, Father, we are here for a short time. We didn't even call it to be a good time. It's not about our happiness. It's about our holiness. I pray that we would be a people that would be so in tune with what you've designed us to be that there'd be a mark in history. Because Digby County, there were those who were obedient, and all of heaven changed. Like heaven can change. Eternity can change. Oh, Father, let us get it. Let us get it. Let it be our desire. Because it is your desire. It's the desire that none should perish. Lord, if we've been sitting on the sidelines, if we've been questioning, if we've been frustrated, if we've been going through a season of battle, I pray that you would lead us this year. And the results would be eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.